Luke chapter 6, and we're talking about the disciples in the kingdom. I believe that the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, that these sermons by Christ are telling us of a character, a conduct, how we ought to behave. And yes, there are rules and laws about this that will be part of when Jesus Christ rules and reigns in this earth in the millennial kingdom. But because he talks about the way we should respond to persecution and the way we should respond to unjust officials, tells me that this isn't just for the millennial kingdom, that this isn't just for a particular time, but rather that it has much to do with who we are to be, the people who are part of God's kingdom, people who are part of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew would say. And I do believe those words, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, are very much interchangeable in that the two different gospels uses them concerning the same truths. And so we saw a few couple of Sunday mornings ago that the disciples of Jesus are consumed with God. And they're not fixed on what's going on today, but they're consumed with God. And we saw that especially as we looked at Luke's rendering of what we call the Beatitudes. Last Sunday morning, then we went on and we talked about mercy. And we saw that disciples of Jesus, if we would be a disciple of Jesus, then there's an imitation of God's mercy that's necessary. Tonight we're just going to look at two verses and see another principle of the disciples of the kingdom. We'll go on and talk about the other sections here. And to be honest, verses 39 through 49, I'm not quite sure how to divide it up yet. He definitely talks about discipleship and leadership in 39 and 40, but does that go with 41 and following? I'm not sure yet. 46 to 49 seems to be kind of like a caboose to the whole thing. And I don't know if there's going to be one more sermon on this text or if there's going to be two more, but tonight we're going to settle on 37 and 38. And by the way, I preach next Sunday night, so you'll know next Sunday night whether I decide to go one sermon or two more. But I told Randy I only needed a few minutes tonight because two verses, but one principle, and I really didn't feel it fit in with mercy, and it doesn't fit in with the leadership issue of the next sermon. It's kind of standish on its own here. He says 37 and 38 of Luke chapter 6, judge not, and you shall not be judged. A lot of confusion on just that phrase right there. Sometimes people say, you shouldn't judge anybody. And they'll say that about ministries or preachers that take a stand in the Word of God. Someone gets up and says, I believe that social drinking is wrong. You make that kind of a stand as a ministry or from the pulpit. And right away somebody's going to go, you shouldn't judge anybody. You're judging. You shouldn't judge anybody. I think that is a misapplication here. I don't think that's what's going on. He's talking about a spirit. Do we have a spirit that went, gotcha. That's a demerit. I found you. Because he's talking, you'll notice he's talking about an attitude here. Judge not. A spirit here. And you shall not be judged. He's not talking about discernment, making the decision of whether or not something is right or wrong, which is in the alcohol issue is what you do. Is in the issue of the alcohol, you should take the Word of God and the society and you put the two together and you weigh them and you make a discerning, a wisdom choice. That kind of judgment or discernment, if you want to keep there from being discrepancy, that is what Christians are to do. And wherever you, and there's different views sitting in this room, we are told to use discernment and to judge in the area of taking the Word of God and applying it to our culture and applying it to our own life. This we are supposed to do. So when it says judge not, he's not saying don't take the Word of God and apply it to culture. That's not what's going on here. He's talking about a spirit. And we'll see that there's a unifying theme here. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Number three on my outline then, disciples of Jesus understand sowing and reaping. I think that's what's happening here. Disciples of Jesus understand sowing and reaping. And I'd like to go to a sister passage in that I believe it's the same theme. And so turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I hope you bring your Bibles to church. I hope you always bring your Bibles to church. Sometimes we put the scripture on the screen. Don't let that ever stop you from bringing your Bible to church. I appreciate the fact that in these testimonies, one of the things that people say, we chose this church because they preach the word here. And even Gene's testimony tonight, I feel confident that the word of God is being taught to my children here, and I didn't have to worry about that. Bring your Bibles to church. And no matter how confident you are with what's being taught, check what's being taught by the word of God. Galatians 6, 6 and 7, Paul writes, verse 7, do not be deceived. I think this is important. Don't be fooled by this. Don't be misled. And who is deceiving in this case? I don't think it's the devil. I think it's you. Don't get your brain into thinking that this isn't true. God is not mocked. In other words, what he's about to teach us here is going to happen. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I think in some ways you could take the four things that are back there in Luke, and we're going to go back there in a minute, and you could sum them up right here. He who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh, and he who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit. You can invest in this life and invest in this life, and what you're going to get out of this life is this life. And if you invest in the next life, and you spend your whole life focused on the next life, you'll get out the next life. Jeremy says it doesn't always seem fair. And by the way, I meant to mention this earlier when I first came up here and was listening to Jeremy sing. Jeremy has surgery. He's going to have a hernia surgery on Wednesday. So pray for the Schaefers this week. Said it's been an emotional weekend with his relatives here and Amber's boss, husband's passing away. They also have a surgery coming up, and it should be, you know, in, out. You'll be okay in a few days. You can go ahead and hit him on Sunday, and he'll be okay. But just the same, there's just that much more stress in the family. But Jeremy said tonight, doesn't seem fair. Here's this man, lived his life for self. Comes to the end of his life, and he gets saved. What's with that? You know, and there was the parable Jesus taught about the men that went to the harvest, and some went in for 11 hours they worked, or 12 hours they worked, and they got paid a penny. And then there were the guys that worked 9 hours, and they got paid a penny. There were guys that worked 6 and 3 hours. There were guys that worked 1 hour, and they got paid a penny. What's with that? And Jesus said to the guys, or said about the guys that had been there all 12 hours, he said, I was fair with you. I was just. I gave you what you had coming. And that's true about heaven. But I think there's also a principle here that the man of whom Jeremy spoke today, he has sown flesh and he reaped flesh in his life, in his rewards eternally. But to spend a life for God, to spend a life for God and spend a life investing in spiritual things, you will benefit in this life and the next. He says, and if you don't think so, then the first phrase applies to you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You look at this life, and as Jeremy talked about Dennis, you look at this life, and you look at this guy, and he goes, it doesn't work. Don't be deceived. It does work. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will, and that whatever is huge. Whatever. You name it. You invest, and you're going to get it back. Whatever a man sows, that what he will also reap. And life everlasting. So, and he tells about this, and here's the answer to your statement, Jeremy. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. And actually, that's what the King says, King James says. Let us not grow weary while doing good. I like the New King James. As I looked at it today, I've never really studied this verse in the New King James, and yesterday and today, as I came to this and saw this verse 9, while doing, I like that. Because sometimes that's when I get tired. King James says, don't be weary in well-doing, and no, that's good. But don't be weary while doing good. And how many times does that happen? That here I am doing it again, and what am I getting out of it? Nothing. And you get weary while doing good. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. And so let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, Well, when's that going to happen? My wife has a storybook tape that she's listened to since she was a little kid about a little boy called Bobblywink. My high school speech class had the privilege of listening to a Bobblywink story or two. There's a story about Bobblywink who, with his mom, plants carrots, radishes, and beets in a garden. And a few days after they've planted them, Bobblywink and Sue, that's his sister, want to know what's in the garden, want to know what's going on. And so they went up and they decided that it would be time to inspect the seeds. And so they started digging in the ground. And of course, they ruined the carrots. And there weren't any carrots because they never had a chance to grow. In due season, when's that going to happen? And sometimes, like a little kid in the garden, we go, okay, God, I've been good now. I've been doing good now. It's been, hours. You know, sometimes it's years. Sometimes we pray for an unsaved friend for years, or an unsaved child, or an unsaved parent for years. Sometimes it seems that God doesn't answer that prayer. Let's not be weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. You don't reap exactly what you sow. You reap more than you sow. It's the same kind, but it's so bountiful more. And the Lord of the harvest, He controls what it is we reap. Let's come back to Luke and this, I believe, sowing and reaping passage here. He talks about judgment. If you've got one of the outlines that says 5, 6, 7, and 8, the reason is because I put page and then another page, and the stupid computer doesn't get it that I started over. So there's 4 points. I think he's talking about sowing and reaping in the area of judgment. And you say, okay, a pastor leads, this is a kingdom passage, or it's talking about the kingdom of God. Is this a spiritual thing, or is it now? Is it future? Is it today? Is this in heaven that I will reap these things, or is it in this life? And I'm real, maybe a lot of students of the Word of God and a lot of theologians will tell you there's only one application of every text. I'm a real both and man. I like, you know, sour cream and butter on those potatoes. And which is it? If I have a spirit that is not judgmental, is it talking about heaven or is it talking about today? Is it talking about the future? Yes. Yeah, I think it's talking about the way God treats me, and I think it's talking about the way other people treat me. If you are a judgmental type person, you are going to be judged. And if you're a condemning, so the first one is judgment, the second one is condemnation, the third one is forgiveness. These areas, and really these are just illustrations, I believe, of the sowing and reaping principle. I do not believe these are exclusive 4 areas that there is sowing and reaping in our lives: judgment, condemnation, forgiveness, and finally the idea of generosity, of giving. Having a general spirit, the generous spirit, those are the 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, there are 5, 6, 7, and 8 if you have some of the defective outlines. I think what these are really doing, though, is illustrating a principle here. And Jesus is trying to teach us that if you would be in His kingdom, here is something you should understand. As you spend your life, so God will reward you. And again, we sometimes say, hello, God, it's not working. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is a reciprocal blessing, a reward that comes with doing the right thing, with obeying God, with walking in His way, sowing and reaping. There is today, I've taken a little bit of a trip into the emerging church. I'm on my third book. I've bought 5 books, and I've got a couple of magazine articles, and I'm in my third book about the emerging church. And 2 that were written by those guys, and 1 that's written against. And this is something new that's out there, right? The emerging church. I've kind of, those of you who were on the Snowed-In Sunday, you were exposed to some of this as John MacArthur taught Sunday school that day for us. This book I'm reading right now, though, one thing that the emerging church has is a real mysticism. They don't like absolutes. They want everything to kind of be feely and smoke and mirrors and mystic. There is no absolutes. This is just a kind of a feel-good thing here. That's not what the Bible teaches. This is our reasonable service. And here, I believe in this passage, there is this biblical principle in the kingdom of God. You live this kind of a life, and there will be compensation. And we can't figure it out. And God is infinite, and we don't know exactly how this math is all done, because his calculator doesn't work like our calculator works. And his judgment scales doesn't work like our judgment scales. But if we have a judging spirit, then we're going to be judged. If we have a condemning spirit, we're going to be condemned. If we have an unforgiving heart, we won't be forgiven. If we have a generous spirit, if we have a stingy spirit, we'll be treated stingily. On the other hand, if we have a heart that is forgiving and unjudging and uncondemning, and that's the way we treat people, then people will treat us that way, and God will treat us that way. And if we have a generous spirit, one that gives and extends, then God will repay. Principles of the kingdom. How do we live today? It will affect what we will receive in time to come.